number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quick and Wound studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. Nighttime. This is the right time.
On the nighttime.
It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Well, we asked the question in the last hour here on the show tonight. What is taking so long for Peyton Manning? I wonder if it's just, I don't know yet. Or does he know and is he playing a game? 800-777-2907. I'm asking this because the Denver Broncos are going to have to release him if he wants to come back, and he will play somewhere else. And does that hurt his great legacy? Even if it's a little bit, does it hurt his great legacy? 800-777-2907, or hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio. We all want our athletes to go off into the sunset with a championship. We want that last moment to be John Elway hoisting that trophy and saying Eddie's done. Or what we thought we were getting with Michael Jordan when he walked away after that win against the Utah Jazz, hitting that shot. But he ended up coming back and playing with the Wizards. You know, it's a lot of forgettable stuff, sure. But with Peyton Manning, would we remember him lacing it up for the Rams in an 8-8 season? I say this so many times. I know I'm sounding like a broken record, but I don't want to make a decision for these athletes. I will never be the guy that comes on the radio demanding somebody retires. One, because I'm not a high school kid who just feels like I have the right to say that. But two, I understand. I get it. When your whole life is dedicated to something and your whole life involves something, it's not a cord you just easily cut. Peyton Manning has been a football player forever. He was born a football player. He has never known a moment in his life where he wasn't a football player. Now think about that for a second. From the time he was 4 or 5 years old, he's been a football player. His whole family is football royalty. So he doesn't know what it's like not to be one, and I have no right, and we don't have any right, to tell him that for the good of his legacy or for the good of his career or for the good of himself, he should walk away. If he wants to come back and play for the Rams, or he wants to come back and play for somebody else, he's not playing for Denver, he should do that. But I wonder, as fans, would you react with, yeah, I'll get to see Peyton Manning one more year? Or would you react with, Peyton, don't. Because of what happened last season. Look, I got it. If he had lost to that Pittsburgh Steelers team in the playoffs, if the Steelers didn't turn the ball over and hung on to that victory, I could see Peyton Manning going, I just want one more shot. I just want one more shot. Why not? I get paid a boatload of money. I could go to some team and be they'd be happy to have me. Let me just give it one more shot. But that's not what we got. With Peyton Manning, we got a Super Bowl championship. Now, granted, it wasn't the Super Bowl championship that we saw Elway get in that final one against the Atlanta Falcons, where Elway threw that pass to Rod Smith and, you know, what was a factor in the game. Peyton Manning was pedestrian. The defense stole the show. I think the Broncos would have won the Super Bowl without Peyton Manning. I think the Broncos would have won the Super Bowl with an easier road without Peyton Manning. I think the game against the Steelers, I don't think would have been close. I don't think the game with the Patriots would have been that close. Now, I can't say that about the Carolina Panthers. I thought that was close enough. I mean, it was close towards the end. But let me say this. Manning's decision is going to be one or two things to Denver. Either he's going to retire and they'll celebrate his accomplishments in Denver and what he meant to the organization since he arrived, or they're going to release him. Still celebrate what he meant to the team, but they're going to tell him he's not wanted anymore. And if I'm Peyton Manning, I would hate that to be a factor. But I think it would be a factor. You just won a Super Bowl. I don't want to be shown the door. I'm a 40-year-old quarterback. I don't want a team to tell me they don't want me anymore. Even if the reasons are legit, and even if it's totally business, and even if there's not an ounce of personal in the decision, because there isn't an ounce of personal in the decision. They're not getting rid of Manning because they don't like him as a quarterback or a person. They have to move forward. They have a free agent quarterback in Brock Osweiler that wants to play and is ready to play and is NFL ready. They have to move on that. They're not going to pay him $19 million to be the broken down 40-year-old quarterback when the guy they know they want is a free agent. So it's not personal. It is 100% business. And I don't want anybody to say, well, it's personal to me, because it isn't. But nevertheless, it is still a statement by the Broncos. We don't want you on the team. We don't want you here. So if I'm Manning, these are things I would consider. I don't know about him, but these are things I would consider. Even if I'm not ready to take those scissors and cut the cord of the one thing that has been consistent in my entire life since I was a kid outside of family. And that's playing football. Peyton Manning, a decision has got to be coming soon. March 9th is when we start free agency. The Broncos will release him. And I don't want that for him. I don't. I like Peyton Manning. All of these accusations aside, all of these things that have been floating around in the last couple of weeks aside, I like Peyton Manning. He's a good ambassador to the game I love as a fan. And I don't want him struggling with a lousy Rams team. Because I don't think he's going to be a very effective quarterback wherever he goes. I think that those days are over. Because let's face it, he came back healthy and he wasn't good. But all those people that said, oh, Manning was hurt. And, you know, Brock Osweiler got the job back, but, you know, Manning was healthy, but, you know, Osweiler was doing so well. But he's healthy. He's ready to go. How many Bronco guys did we get on this show? Friends of mine from my time there that came on this show. Oh, he's looking so good in practice. He's throwing that ball. He's looking so good. You saw those games? I saw those games. He didn't look that great. I would just rather the last memory of his playing career being telling me to drink Budweiser, kissing Papa John on the cheek, and hoisting a trophy. Because I don't want to see him throwing 25 interceptions for the Rams in Los Angeles, even if it is Los Angeles. Steven asking me on Twitter, do you think Peyton is afraid of retirement and not being relevant? I think that's an interesting two-part question, Steven. Do I think Peyton is afraid of retirement? I'm not in his head, but if I were to guess, I think they were all afraid of retirement. I don't think when you have that long of a career, I don't think when you have a long career in something, I don't think people jump in a retirement and are okay with it. There is a moment, they don't know how they're going to feel. People say this all the time. Remember the Bears 85, 30 for 30? One of the things that was consistent towards the end, they asked those guys, all those guys, if they would do it all over again. Right? I mean, a lot of them are still dealing with injuries and, you know, Jim McMahon had onset dementia and, you know, all of the injuries that these guys have to deal with now that they're older. And all of them said immediately they would do it all over again. And it's because the void, there's nothing in their life that fills the void of running out on a stadium and having 70,000 people, 80,000 people, 65,000 people, wherever the stadium fills, cheering them and them being very important to an entire city on one given day of the year or multiple games. I think Peyton Manning has to be a little bit afraid of retirement. He can say, I have family, I have my wife, I have my kids. There's no void. You can't fill that void of public affection. And being a broadcaster or being a front agent guy like John Elway, that doesn't fill the void. So I think, yeah, he is afraid of not being relevant. I never get the feeling with Manning that it's all about staying relevant. I think Manning would be a very good broadcaster. I think he'd be a very good front office guy. And in those ways, he can stay relevant. But I do think when you approach 40 as an athlete, you think about leaving the sport. You don't know what's on the other side, but the relevancy thing I think you learn to deal with. Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
I told you it was a wide open show tonight. I told you we're going to cover a lot of things tonight. I said it at the top of our first hour. So far, we've gotten NBA, we've gotten Major League Baseball with the Dexter Fowler situation, we talked NFL free agency, a little college football with the Tennessee situation. Guess what we're doing at the bottom of the hour 15 minutes from now? One guess, only one guess. Yeah, that's right. If you said golf, you got it. Gary Van Sickle is going to join us from SI.com. We'll talk about Tiger and whether or not that new video is proof beyond a reasonable doubt that Tiger is healthy. We'll get into the big three as we approach the Masters in a month and I don't want to say a month and a half. It's like a month and a quarter. Masters is a little earlier this year. So we'll talk to Gary Van Sickle coming up at the bottom of the hour. Talking about Peyton Manning, what is taking so long with Manning? I don't want to put a timeline on it for him. I mean, he can take as long as he wants. I'm just curious as if it's taking this long, is it more? Are we more inclined to believe that he's going to come back? I'll give you an example. I remember when we had the OJ trial 20 years ago, and I remember Arlen Specter came into our studio with the radio station I was working at. I was working in New Hampshire at the time, and there's a lot of politics that go on in New Hampshire. Arlen Specter had come in to be on our evening show, and the jury had come back in the OJ trial, and had come back rather quickly. And Arlen Specter, as an attorney and a guy who knew judicial stuff, he said on the air that because of the quickness of the decision, that he thought it was an acquittal. That's usually a telltale sign of acquittal. I don't know if that's true or not, but I always thought that that was interesting. In this situation, is it the same thing? Do guys who analyze this, when you get pending retirement announcements, the closer you get to the free agency deadline, are we more inclined to believe that he's staying? That he's going to just say, all right, fine, release me. I'll go somewhere else. Because if I'm going to retire, I probably would have said this earlier. I mean, we're like 3 weeks away from the Super Bowl. We were 3 weeks removed from the Super Bowl. I'm a little surprised we still haven't got a decision. Or maybe he's making the Broncos sweat. I don't know. Let's go to Chris in Dallas. You're next up on Yahoo Sports Radio. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Tony. Thanks for taking my call, man.
As always, man. Appreciate it.
I don't think his legacy will be tarnished, just maybe for hardcore Manning fans, but for the general public, I think it'll be fine. I mean, Emmitt Smith went to the Cardinals for a year after he left Dallas and, you know, had 800 yards, and, you know, nobody ever looks back and says, oh, he shouldn't have done that. You know, he should have retired a Cowboy. But I think as long as you go somewhere and you conduct yourself as a professional, and it doesn't get messy, I don't think it ever tarnishes your legacy.
Yeah, good point. No, you're right, Chris. Brett Favre, Johnny Unitas played for the San Diego Chargers, and nobody remembers it.
Yeah, I mean, you know? Brett Favre tarnished his legacy, but that's only because his split was messy and because he had fun with his camera phone.
That's right. That's right.
Not because of how he played or that he went to another team, but the whole situation was just messy. And that's what kills your legacy right there.
And I do think that the sporting public genuinely understands a guy's inability to just snap that career cord quickly. I think we kind of we sympathize a little bit with a guy that just wants to play another year because he can. You know, we may not enjoy it in terms of the play. It's not the same. He's not 25 anymore. But I think genuinely we get the idea of, hey, listen, he just wants to play one more year. If it's with the Rams on a bad team, so what?
I agree. And I also think for hardcore fans that sometimes that can make you respect them even more. I mean, there's a sect of fans out there from Michael Jordan that it didn't tarnish his legacy. They were actually more impressed at the age of 38 and 39, he could go out and do what he did for those 2 or 3 years in Washington.
Great point. Great point. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate the call, man. It was good stuff. He's right. I don't want to see it. I mean, now, granted, I don't want to see it as me, but the larger picture of whether or not a Manning legacy gets tarnished because he suits up with some, and I keep bringing up the Rams only because that's been connected. So please just let me do that the rest of the way. If he were to suit up for the LA Rams for that for one season, I genuinely think people will just say, "Oh man, I just wish it would end the more storybook way." But like I said, look, guys have played, superstars have played their last games with teams other than the ones we recognize them with. Look, and with Manning, he's had two recognizable teams, Indianapolis and Denver. So that's kind of where people are going to know. If he plays 1 year somewhere else, no one's going to really remember that, especially if it's not a playoff berth and especially if it's just rather boring. But like I said, Johnny Unitas is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. We always associate him with the Baltimore Colts. People barely remember he played with the Chargers. Bobby Orr is forever a Boston Bruin, but he closed out his career with the Chicago Blackhawks. You know, a lot of people just don't remember some of the superstars that finished off somewhere else. I mean, look, when I say Michael Jordan, you think Wizards? Like he mentioned, do you think Wizards? Do you remember any game of with him with the Wizards? I barely remember any game with the Wizards. I remember seeing him in Denver when he was with the Wizards, when I was covering the Nuggets. But I don't remember any big-time moment with the Wizards.
My thing with Manning is if he comes back and chooses to play for, like you've been saying, the Rams, if he comes back and just is awful like he kind of was to start this year, I mean, eight touchdowns, 17 interceptions before he got hurt. If he's like that, that's what tarnishes him for me more than him actually just coming back off the Super Bowl and, you know, that storybook ending. I don't care about that. It's more about if he comes back and he's just awful again and then he kind of gets phased out for some young quarterback, kind of like he did with Osweiler before Osweiler got hurt. It just doesn't, I don't know, I don't like that. I mean, Michael Jordan came back, played for the Wizards. He still averaged over 20 points a game in
his
2 years.
Was effective. That's right. That's right.
So long as Manning's effective, I don't think it tarnishes anything.
To me, but to me, the two go hand in hand because I agree with you. If he was an effective quarterback, let's say Manning was really good in the playoffs and really like, threw four touchdowns and he looked good for his age, meaning that we didn't have any problems with his play. And this was just a business decision by the Broncos. They don't want to pay a 40-year-old $19 million and they really do need to move on with Brock Osweiler. Then I would say, all right, I don't need the storybook ending because if you still have mileage in the tank, I don't care if you close, I don't care if it's a Super Bowl or not. I think you should continue to play until your body absolutely tells you to stop. But watching him in the playoffs, I got the feeling I was watching a guy's body say, "You are playing with fire, man. Yes. I have only got a few. I am running on fumes. I am only got enough gas to get you to the finish line. After that, I am shutting this puppy down." That's what I got the feeling. And so that's why I'm more inclined to want the storybook ending for Manning than what you just mentioned. I absolutely have no desire to see that. To see a guy, I mean, because that's sad.
Right. Like Johnny Unitas, you kept bringing up. He started four games, played in five games for the Chargers his last year. He had a 44% completion percentage.
Yeah, right.
Like, that's what I don't want to see from Manning. I don't want to see four starts, him go 1-3 like Unitas, and just be really bad and then just phase out. And then it's just kind of like, you could have just retired in the offseason and gone out on a Super Bowl.
Unitas tells a really funny story. When he was in San Diego, he saw a couple of his teammates sitting around passing around a cigarette. And he's like, "Hey, can I take some of that?" And they said, no. And then he realized that wasn't a cigarette.
Nice.
All right, coming up next, we'll talk golf with Gary Van Sickle from Sports Illustrated. That's next, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio. And YahooSportsRadio.com.
It's Tony D here on the Nighttime Yahoo Sports Radio. Thanks for joining us. All right, we're heading into the golf season in the Florida part of the schedule as they head to the Masters coming up in April. Gary Van Sickle joins us from Sports Illustrated to talk about that and a couple of other issues around the golf world. How are you, my friend?
Did you call me Tiger Van Sickle?
I didn't call you Tiger Van Sickle. Did I do that?
That's what I heard. Maybe that's just my own adrenaline, because we all got Tiger on the brain because of last week.
I agree.
We're going to the golf season, and ironically, Tiger was the one guy we weren't talking about. Then all of a sudden, we were talking about him. So it's ironic and weird and kind of fun in a way.
Are you buying that video, or is that a recent one, or do you think he's really hurt?
I don't want to put Tiger in a position. I mean, I feel like a hostage situation where Tiger has to hold up today's newspaper, you know, like all those movies where somebody's, you know, in the Liam Neeson movie where he's taken, here's his daughter holding the newspaper. You know, I don't know if it is or not. You know, right when the thing came out, first, you know, there's a problem in America in the media right now where because of blogging and because anybody can put anything up, post anything, and the mainstream media has been bypassed by a lot of things. You know, this really came up first when the whole Tiger scandal happened, where TMZ and some other people were reporting things about Tiger that weren't verified, and they were getting the stories that the New York Times and everybody else couldn't get. The problem is only a portion of those stories ever panned out to be true. But the mainstream media is just getting killed anyways in general, circulation-wise and all that. So they feel compelled to take these reports off lesser things that haven't been verified, and they run them, and then they attribute them, say, well, TMZ said, you know, the moon is made of green cheese.
Right.
They don't care whether the moon is made of green cheese or not, because if it is, well, TMZ's who said it, it wasn't our fault. So that's where we are in this thing. An anonymous, some of the guy on the web reported that Tiger can't even ride in the car, he's in bad shape, and, you know, I think in the thing I wrote, I said, well, you know, and they got all huffy, Tiger's people got all huffy about it, and said, well, the simple thing to do would be to put out a video or have Tiger make an appearance. So this pops up. I don't know. You know, Tiger's been less than truthful with us over the years about a lot of things, especially anything regarding injuries. I'm going to say this problem, the video is probably authentic, and he didn't look that good swinging a 9-iron, but I'm happy he's at least that good. I hope that video is authentic. I hope it's true. Nobody wants to see a great athlete go out with a, you know, this way with back injuries and that kind of a thing. Cause at 40 in golf, you know, he's still kind of in the kind of a young man. These guys, the senior tour, these guys play golf till they drop dead virtually. So I hope it's true, and I hope Tiger's back is getting better because, you know, anybody has a bad back, you can't move a muscle in your body without it hurting. So just never mind the golf. I'd feel bad if his back was that bad.
The Florida swing, as I mentioned, starts with the Honda Classic this week. How important is this part of the schedule when they're tuning up for the Masters?
I think it's really important this year. You know, they moved the match play to later in the spring. So the match play was the end of the West Coast. Really, the Florida swing is the first time, you know, with Tiger being out. I mean, we've gone through a whole evolution. When does the golf season really start? You know, it used to be the Tournament of Champions, the first event of the year. Then it was the first full field event, Hawaii. A lot of people said, well, Torrey Pines was the first real event because that's the first event Tiger played. Now we have this wraparound schedule. You start playing in October. Well, you know, this year it feels like in Florida, okay, this was the start of the big-time golf season. So I think
if I was 21 and had access to a private jet and luxury, I'd travel the world and play a lot of golf too. But Jordan Spieth did it. He looked tired. Was this a good idea?
Obviously, based on his performance so far, I would say no. But that said, if you were offered $3 million to play a couple tournaments in a row in Asia, would you turn that down? I mean, really, would you? You know, even though Jordan Spieth won $25 million last year, you can make the argument, all the money you want, all the endorsement money, you know, he's in a high tax bracket. He's lucky if he even kept half of that. That said, it's still more money than he needs. But it's just hard to turn it down. And the thing is, when Tiger used to go over to Japan and do these events, you go, what's he chasing that $2 or $3 million appearance fee for? Well, when he's over in Japan, just because he's there, he maybe gets an endorsement. He maybe, you know, signs a deal to promote some golf course. He gets an endorsement deal to promote some Japanese coffee. some of these deals wind up being worth $20, $30, $40 million. Now, is it worth your time to go over to Japan, you know, and get tired? So I think you're obligated, you know, maybe when you're young and you're U.S. Open and Masters champion, you have opportunities that you've never had before. And whether you need the money or not, I mean, Jordan Spieth's normal like us. He doesn't need the money. Somebody's offering him, if he's going to make stand to make $20 or $30 million, who can say no to that? If he doesn't play well in March and plays poorly in the Masters, he's going to look back and go, well, duh, I'm not doing that again.
Phil Mickelson hasn't won since the 2013 British Open, but he looked good at Pebble. Where do you see his game right now? He's almost 46. Where do you see his game?
Well, I'd like to be 46 again, he said bitterly. You know, I was impressed. I was impressed. Who wouldn't be? I mean, that's the best I've seen Phil chip and putt, and I want to say at least since 2013, maybe longer. He's, you know, it's funny because we always think of him as the greatest short game guy ever. The last 2 years, you know, he hasn't been that good, so that was not the Phil Mickelson we knew. And, you know, maybe he got complacent. Maybe his arthritis is acting up. He can't say that because he's paid big money by an arthritis medicine, so he can't admit that his arthritis hurts him. But it looks like last year really got his attention and ticked him off, frankly, and he went and worked his butt off. His short game is sharp. I'm really impressed the way he stroked the ball with the putter. This guy is, you know, and he came back and kind of kicked away a tournament. So, yeah, what's that mean? It means the old Phil is back. He can still lose the tournament in the last hole. So it also means he can win. So I'm excited about Phil for the first time probably in 5 years. He can definitely win, and I think he's going to win something. And let's face it, there's not a course in the world he plays better than Augusta National. So if you're running if you're in a fantasy pool, you better draft him. I don't think you'll be sorry.
Gary Van Sickle joins us, Sports Illustrated, talking some golf. I'm kind of curious about this year's Olympics in Rio. How does it affect the schedule? I know the PGA Championship, they got moved to July. Are guys excited about this opportunity?
Well, not that much, because there's only going to be, you know, three or four guys that are going to get to go. And on top of the fact that Brazil, you know, is closing half their beaches because of sewage.
Yeah.
And we've got the Zika virus down there. In addition to that, whoever are the Olympic athletes representatives, they're going to have to go through Olympic level blood, drug testing. This involves blood testing. What the tour does is nothing compared to what the Olympics do, and I think that's going to turn a few guys off. Now
that is a good point.
Once you get through all that stuff and you have the Olympics, and it's kind of a bogus tournament. There's 60 people playing, 30 of whom are going to be outside the top 150 in the world rankings. I mean, you're going to have that. You're going to have 20 of the top 100 players in the world, and you've got 30 outside of the top 50 outside of the top 100. It's kind of the field's too small, and it's kind of really weak, and the wrong people are in it. As long as the right person wins, you know, if Rory McIlroy edges Jordan Spieth in the final, we're going to forget about the whole travesty of who got in and who did what. It's going to be exciting, and we'll like it. So I think the schedule's messed up. It's compressed because of this. It's really only for a couple. It really only affects a handful of players. And I think it needs to be a good show and have a good winner, because otherwise people are going to be looking at, you know, all the flaws in the program. But, yeah, Jordan Spieth, or say Phil Mickelson, were to win a gold medal, we'll overlook all the rest and be going, yeah, golf is back. So that's a small price to pay to have maybe the – so what if the tournament in Akron has to move 2 weeks earlier? You know, ultimately nobody's going to care if, you know, the Olympics winds up being a good show.
Gary Van Sickle again, Sports Illustrated, on some golf. Thanks for your time tonight, my friend. Appreciate it.
Okay, and you can call me Tiger anytime. I like it. It's like trying on a new jacket. It felt good for a second, even if I was just pretending.
Great talking to you, my friend. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Well, when we come back, we'll talk more about the NFL free agency that we talked to Adam Rank earlier today, and get into a little bit about what he said. I thought he made a really good point about the Olympics. Not only the sewage and the water, but for golf, the drug testing. I never even thought about that. And plus, do the guys really need to win an Olympic medal to show country pride? I'll tell you where they can get country pride next. Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 800-777-2907, the number. Also, you can hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio. And don't forget, like us on Facebook, Tony D Radio Show. Like to see you? Say hi. Gary Van Sickle joined us from Sports Illustrated. We talk a little bit about golf. We're in the Masters in a couple of weeks, a month and a half or so. We're in the Florida swing of the golf season. But one of the things that I did not even consider when it came to the Olympics is the drug testing that the golfers are going to have to. I wonder how many are really scared of that. We don't usually talk about performance-enhancing drugs in golf, but I do wonder if some guys are taking some stuff they're not supposed to be, and they're not going to be participating in the Olympics because of that. I wonder. But I also have to say this. I do not want anybody on the American side to look at the Olympics as a way to play and win for their country. If you want to play and win for your country, find a way to win the damn Ryder Cup. All right? We already have an event where the stars and stripes are proudly waved, where you get your butt kicked every single time that tournament starts. So forget going to Rio and trying to win a gold for the old U.S. of A. How about winning a Ryder Cup so I don't have to see Rory McIlroy drinking champagne out of it again? How about go win the Ryder Cup so I don't have to see, Ann Poulter celebrating? Or Martin Keimer draining a putt? Or Phil Mickelson on, again, another losing team? I am getting sick and tired of losing the Ryder Cup. And I'm getting tired of the infighting that goes on at the Ryder Cup. And we should be doing it like the Europeans. And the Europeans, they're all like friends. They all like stay at the same hotel together. And they drive rent-a-cars together. And they eat dinner together. We ought to form that. Now you're the best golfers in the world. Go out there and get that cup. I'm so tired of losing. No medal in Olympic golf makes up for losing the Ryder Cup every 2 years. Go win the Ryder Cup. By the way, the Olympics look like a disaster, do they not? I mean, I'm seeing pictures of just pure filthy water in Rio. Shame on the Olympic Committee for giving it to these cities. I can't do it. I understand that there's bribery and all, and, you know, after all, it's their problem. Once we give them the bid, it's all on them. But my God, first of all, nobody wants this. Nobody wants the Olympics. It costs way too much. Most cities that can do it don't really want to do it again. You got like Los Angeles making a pitch. I hope Los Angeles gets it. London, LA, Chicago. I don't know. Atlanta again, I guess. Maybe Barcelona. They did a pretty good job. But other than that, don't go to these countries that have filthy water and disease and they can't clean it up. And, it'll be fine. Don't worry about it. Once you get here, everything will be great. If I was an Olympic athlete, I'd be petrified of this virus that's going around. Scary stuff at the Olympics. I don't know.
I wouldn't even go.
I wouldn't even go either. I'm like 100% on Hope Solo's side. I wouldn't go.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go. Especially if you don't need to go. Like, if I'm Jordan Spieth, why would I go to the Olympics?
Yeah.
I'm 21 years old.
Nothing.
I'm going to go to other Olympics. I'm going to be fine. Listen, I'll make the next one. How's that? The next Summer Games, wherever the heck that's going to be in 2020. I don't even know. But wherever that's going to be, I'll go on that one. But I ain't going to Rio. Are you out of your mind? Plus, man, did you see what they've done to the schedule? It's going to be like U.S. Open, British Open, PGA, all within like a 6-week period. The British Open's at the end of July.
Olympics are in Tokyo.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'd go to Tokyo. It's a modern city. I'd be cool. It might have a problem here or there, but it's not mosquito-driven disease problem.
Right. That's Tokyo. There's just way too many people. That's the
problem. Yeah, exactly.
There.
It's overcrowded, like, right?
You just run into someone anytime you walk somewhere.
You think there's poop in the water like there is in Rio?
No, I think they've probably got a nice, you know, system
probably,
set up.
Probably took
to
care
take
of that.
Care of that, you know. It's a city of what, like 400 billion people, it seems like.
God, that's gross. Rio, that is so gross.
I mean, when you
good luck Ryan Seacrest
from the water. Why?
Oh, I know. Like, I know. But this is the problem, right? Like, why the money, the corruption that's going on in the Olympic is so thick that the Olympic Committee can't come in and go, clean this up. We're not taking your word for it. My God, we're bringing the whole world to your town. God, find a way, man.
Oh, yeah, don't worry about it. It'll be all set. Oh, it's coming.
It's like that repairman that's at your house like for weeks fixing something in your kitchen. And you're just like, come on, man. Stop putting me on the clock. Fix the stove or go home. We're trusting Rio to get this straight. I'm not really looking forward to golf at the Olympics. I thought I would be. I thought it'd be kind of cool, but it doesn't seem to be all that cool. I don't even know who would go anyway. See, it feels like this year, if you're a professional golfer, is the season's really just cramped with too many things? Because we're in a Ryder Cup year, are we not? I think we are.
Yeah.
So think about like a Spieth schedule, for example. He's been around the world. He's making all of this money in appearance fees. He's finally settled down. He'll play the Masters in April. Then he'll play a couple of more tournaments. They've got the Players Championship in May. Then he's got the U.S. Open to defend his title. Then he's got the British Open. Then he's got a couple of weeks after the British Open, he would have the PGA Championship at Baltusrol. A couple of weeks later, they'd be down in Rio for the Olympics. And then close out with, I don't know, a couple of events. Then you got the Ryder Cup. Then you've got the Tour Championships that he's the defending champion. I mean, it's just nonstop. All crammed in. If Spieth wins a major, an Olympic medal, is part of the winning Ryder Cup team in the Tour Championship, greatest season of all time. Tiger be damned. Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio. We'll talk about Theo Epstein next, Yahoo Sports Radio.